This week, we're in part 7 of our series, Inside Out Living. And today, we're going to be looking at this theme, Some Assembly Required. Do you understand what some assembly required is? Does that make sense to you? How many of you bought something that you're like, oh, at the bottom it had some assembly required, and it didn't, you know, when you open the box, I'm like, this is not some, this is a lot of assembly required. Have you been there? Recently, I had someone I was doing some work for, and they said, hey, can you put this thing together? I got it from Christmas Tree Shop, and they were all excited. The picture looked great on the outside, and they said, can you put this together? I'm like, sure, no problem. And so I opened this box, and the box was like this. I mean, it was just like that, and it was this big cabinet kind of a thing, and the picture looked really cool, but it came in a flat box. And how do you take something that's in a flat box and make it into something that's like this with shelves and doors and all this other stuff? But you can. And they've got all these screws and all these different things there just hanging out and waiting for you to put it together. And so the people that are smart, they start with what? Yeah, directions. Listen, there was a long time ago that I'm like, I don't need any stinking directions. But it's gotten way more complicated. And so what I found is, after putting it together and taking it apart and putting it back together again 3 times, that it was much less painful if I were to go with, you know, just looking at the directions and following step 1 and then step 2 and step 3, and then you get to 347. And now the complication, yesterday was my birthday, as we, you know, just sung and celebrated that. I got this really cool little gadget thing that it's a speaker that hooks up to my phone, so I can turn like music on. I can hear it loud and annoy people around me with the music I like to listen to. And so what do you do when you get this? With technology, it's different, but the same. Some assembly's required. Here's the assembly. It's got to pair up or go with my phone somehow. So what do? You get the instructions out or the destructions out, right? And you begin to read this, but it's in 15 different languages. You've got to find English somewhere in there, and you're trying to figure it all out. But that's how life is sometimes, isn't it? Where there's some things that there's some assembly required. What's hard is when the things that you assembled and put together fall apart and break, or someone breaks them, kind of like Humpty Dumpty. I would say Humpty Dumpty was pushed, right? Where he fell off the wall and all the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put what? Humpty back together again. And sometimes life feels like that, doesn't it? Where it feels like you've been pushed off the wall by different circumstances, and you're looking at all the pieces in your heart or in your life, in your mind, and in your relationships, and you're saying, how in the world do I put this back together again? I'd like to have some instructions for this. I would like for someone to show me, how am I going to put this back together again? Because it's hard. It's challenging. A few weeks ago, we talked about having mercy with people that are offending you. And so today is kind of the follow-up to that. And then next week is going to be a follow-up to today's message as well. So you won't want to miss out on next week's message as it kind of continues in this kind of way. But today, I want to show you God's inside-out way of living out a life that puts the pieces back together. And listen, there's some assembly required. There's some assembly required. So in order to know how to assemble life that falls apart, you've got to look at the instructions. And so Jesus gives us a phrase that I'm going to take this phrase and I'm going to explode it out into some practical instructions for us as to how to put life together again when it falls apart or when it's broken. And so I hope you'll listen in as we dive into this. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 is our launching point. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And sons of God would be another simple way of saying that in today's culture, defined a little bit more clearly, but it would be to be called a Christian, a little Christ. Someone who's a follower of Christ is a son of God. And so we would look at it that way, not just someone who does nice things, but it's someone who's a follower of Jesus, a little Christian or a little Christ or a Christian. Okay? And so that's sons of God. So he says, blessed are the peacemakers. And here's what Jesus has been saying all along. There's a small group of people that choose this extraordinary life, this inside-out way of living. It's not the normal way. This is something totally different. And if I haven't irritated you yet in this series, today might be the day. But it might be the opposite. It might be that you're irritated and you need some resolution with some things. And so today might be the opposite, where you find the resolution, the missing piece to certain things that you've been working through, and it integrates together in a fascinating way today. So here's what a peacemaker does. Blessed are, oh, how very happy are the peacemaker. Here's what a peacemaker does. You ready? A peacemaker makes plans for peace whilst being surrounded by pain. They make plans for peace while being surrounded by pain. In order to make peace, that means that you're at war, right? Or the potential of war is there. So anytime you get into a war or into a fight, that represents a ton of pain in your life. So if in your home, you're having this war going back and forth between you and your spouse, you're constantly fighting, you don't get along, you're struggling just to be able to just be together in the same room, you have this tension, and you say, okay, I need to figure out a way to make peace. There's a lot of pain in that. Or maybe it's at work where you're going through this thing where, you know, you're just having all this tension at work and this frustration is constantly there. You're filled with stress, you're filled with worry, and these things are going on, and it's a consistent kind of a thing. Here, this stress, this worry, this frustration, this trouble, this pain that you're in is resolvable by making peace. Being a peacemaker is what he's saying. But you can't be a peacemaker without experiencing pain. Now, that's the bad news. We'll get to some good news, okay? So make plans for peace while being surrounded by pain. Peace does not happen naturally. Peace does not happen naturally. If you're struggling to get along with someone, it's not a natural thing that just works itself out. And, you know, just give it time, we'll be okay. Here's what I found. You give it time, and you just figured out how to pacify or how to just coexist without being together. In order to work through this and get to a peaceful place, there must be some assembly. There's some assembly that is required. It's an intentional thing that you have to do to get to a point of peace. And that's really the whole point of where we're at today. So here's what a peacemaker does. I'm going to give you 3 points to apply, and I'll give you some verses that I've come up with. And listen, if I could preach all the notes that I've taken on this message, we'd be here for hours. But I threw away about 5 pages of notes, and I'm down to 1, all right? So let's try to just do 1 page today. And I think I've brought all the best stuff of all the notes into this one message on peacemaking. I want for all of us to be able to work through the pain that we're in. I want for all of us to be able to have the tools to do that. And that's why I'm preaching this message. Here's what a peacemaker is. Peacemakers are growing in personal peace. They're growing in personal peace, that internally they have a peace that's developing and growing inside of them. Internally, they haven't just come about having peace in their life, but internally they're growing in it. So how are they doing that? See, peace is a result of aligning yourself with a certain thing, and I will say aligning yourself with truth. Being able to align myself with something that would give me peace. I can have peace in a relationship internally when someone says, you're such a great person. So if Matt here is hanging out with me and we go out together and we're hanging out at a restaurant, we go to a diner or whatever, and maybe I've been struggling with Jamie. He hasn't been talking to me so much. And Keith, he said some bad things about me on Facebook. We're not friends on Facebook. He's not on Facebook. But say he did that. And I've been having all this tension here. And I go out with Matt, and I'm hanging out with him. And Matt says to me, he says, man, you're a great person to hang out with. I like these things about you. Internally, that helps me to feel at peace because of some things he said. Now, that may or may not be truthful. But I'll base my peace then on what he's saying about me or what he's saying to me. Now, that's the internal side where you feel a certain way about the circumstances that I'm in. At work or at home or wherever, where the pain exists, how you feel about that or how you're processing that is whether you can determine whether you have peace or not. Now, let me take this a little bit further. In order to have that internal peace, you need to have something that tells you you're in the right place. So where does peace come from then? Peace comes from aligning myself with the truth, which means that sometimes I need to get realigned because I'm not in the right. Okay? If I'm having problems at work, and my boss is just constantly on my case because I'm not producing enough, and I get irritated with my boss, I'm like, what's the problem? You're giving me all this stress. And then they say, you know what? You're not going to have a job next week if you don't produce 20 of those widgets. And I get frustrated. I'm like, what are you talking about? How can you get on my case like that? I'm worried. I'm stressful. I ask the church to pray for me. I go talk to my friends and say, I have it so horrible here and everything. And here's what happens. Sometimes a person that is struggling internally never aligned themselves with real truth. So the boss comes back and says, listen, everybody else is producing 53 of those widgets a day. So what you find in your own time is that you've been doing nothing but being on Facebook and checking out these videos, and you've been wasting time, and you can't get 10 done because you've been wasting time all day long. So then you need to realign yourself with what the boss just said to be able to gain peace in your job. Makes sense. Really easy stuff, right? So in regular life, in life with God, here's what God has done. God said, listen, I'm going to give you the manual for life. And it starts with God working on us. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says that the fruit of the Spirit is, he says, love, joy, long-suffering. He says, it's peace. That God's the one who's the author of peace. God's the one that gives us peace in difficult circumstances, in painful circumstances. The author of that comes from God first. If you go a little bit further, in James chapter 3, verse 17, he talks about peace there. It says, wisdom from above is, first of all, it's pure, and then it produces peace. So peace comes when we're dwelling with God, first of all. So better than hanging out with a friend like Matt, or better than seeing what the things say on Facebook about me, or better than whether my boss says I'm good enough or not good enough, better than all of that comes back to my view of where I am with God. What does God think of me? And how does God shape or how does he design me, and how is he working in my life? And so he begins to work in me so that I can see the truth in my life, see the truth that he's given to me, and I begin to say, okay, God's designed me in this kind of way. God's planned for me to be this way, but I need to align myself with how he wants me to be in my job, how he wants me to be in my relationship. So it begins with the purity and understanding who God is in this very first steps of my life here. And so let me back this up a little bit. I feel like I'm kind of stumbling a little bit over what I'm trying to say because I have so many different things in my mind. So I apologize. Let me back up. If I'm building a bookshelf, I go back to the instructions. And I want to take step by step, walk through it step by step to be able to build this bookshelf just right. I built a bookshelf a few months ago where I put the one shelf in upside down. I didn't know it. How did I do that? I wasn't looking at the instructions. And I had a sticker that if I were to look at the instructions, it said, the sticker's on this side, and if you just follow this, you'll be okay. To align myself with doing things right, I went back to the instruction manual. And I said, here's what needs to happen. And so while I got stressed and I'm like, oh, they gave me the wrong part and things aren't going so well and how can this happen? Peace came when I went back to the instruction manual and I began to look at it and say, okay, here's what the instructions say. So let's do it just this way and it will work out. Same way. God says, here's the instruction manual. I want to give you something that's going to give you peace. You're going to know how to do relationships at home. You're going to know how to work. You're going to know how to provide. You're going to know how to have eternal life. I'm going to give you the instruction booklet. And so the instruction booklet that I have come back to time and time again is God's word. Why this? Why would I follow this? I mean, that's so crazy to people that maybe you're coming for the first time or maybe you're checking this out, maybe you're watching online or listening online, and you're looking, you're like, I don't know, that's kind of crazy. Why would you believe in a document that's thousands of years old? Here's why. This instruction manual, as I see it, has stayed the same for thousands of years. It's reliable. It's not changed. When I look around and see some different things, and I can say that literally word for word, it hasn't changed. You can historically prove that out. When I look at other things that give us instruction, when I look at psychology, for example, just as an example, I'm a studier of psychology. I'm a studier of counseling and helping people to grow, and so I study these kinds of things. And what's fascinating is, over time, psychology and the studies thereof, they study out the mind and how we work socially and relationally. As they work out those things, it's interesting that over time, they continue to make adjustments. So in that realm, that whole study, they keep changing things up and says, well, this doesn't work, let's try this. And so that keeps on going, where you keep on trying some new things and it keeps changing. This has never changed. It remains the same. It's static. The instruction manual doesn't need to be rewritten. It gets put in different languages because I only read this language, so it gets put in this language for me, but that's as far as it goes. And you can look at all different studies. Biology would be another one, or medicine would be a great study there. When you go back hundreds of years and you see how they dealt with medicine, and certainly we've grown over the years in understanding how the human body works, we're still working at it. We're still working at it. So here's the instruction manual that I look at and say, this is the instruction manual for life. Here's how you do relationships. Here's how you do finances. Here's how you do all the different areas of your life. If you go back to this. So it starts there. You're never going to have peace. You're never going to grow in personal peace if you're aligning yourself with whatever feels good for that moment. Whatever you kind of come up with and you say, well, my mind is kind of coming up with, here's how to do this, that, or the other thing. It's like putting a bookshelf together without the instructions. You'll continue to be struggling. You'll continue to be working at it, and you'll just keep putting together, taking it apart, putting together and taking it apart. And I want to save time. I want to help our lives to be able to go in the right way. So first of all, peacemakers, they're growing in personal peace. They're not growing in stress. They're not growing in worry. They're growing in personal peace. They grow by following the instructions that God's given. Second point, peacemakers are leading others to peace. So here's how this works. Because I've arrived at some peace in my life, and I'm understanding, hey, listen, here's how marriage works, and here's how God is prescribing this, that, and the other thing for finances and stuff, now I'm going to lead other people in peace. So I'm going to invest in other people, and I'm going to make a difference in other people's lives by giving them the peace that's been given to me. Now, there's a really big, tricky part within this. When I'm helping other people to discover peace, here's what often happens. When I have tension in a relationship or when things are not going the way I want, oftentimes the tricky thing is that I get passive or I get diplomatic or whatever with people where I kind of infuse diplomacy into a relationship, and I try to get both people to come together so they move their lines from here to here, or they shift in some kinds of way to where we get to a meeting ground. Now, the tricky part of that is if you move away from the truth that we have here in the instruction manual, what happens is you move away from that and you get to this point of just saying, well, we'll just see how it kind of works out. We'll be passive with each other, or we'll be diplomatic and kind of work at some things here and get to a different place. But as we do that, sometimes we move away from the truth. I find that happens a lot of times. Where the relationships or where the things that we're stressed out about, we just move in a way that's not working out in the way that God prescribed. And so then we end up with not having peace. So where does this work? In a job situation, you're struggling at work to try to figure out how to go forward, and you're just struggling to figure out, what's going on between you and your boss. And you're looking, you're saying, okay, I need to align myself with God and do what God wants me to do. And so you begin to do that. But then your boss comes back and they say, hey, listen, that report that you're about to put in, I need you to change the numbers on this report. And so what happens is you say, well, in order to maintain a place of peace, in order to keep going and have peace, I need to change the numbers and lie about this thing in order to keep peace. That's pacifying it. That's changing things around. That's changing the truth into a lie. The opposite would be to say, okay, wait a second. To be inside out living is to say, I'm going to keep the numbers where they're supposed to be. I'm going to tell the truth, and I'm going to center myself in God. And if something needs to change about my employment or whatever, I'll let God deal with that. It's a total different scenario. And that's what he's saying here. Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the ones that say, hey, listen, I'm going to stay on the truth. I'm going to keep on staying centered over here. And if you want me to stay, move off of the truth and move over here, I can't move there. I can't do that. That's not going to work for us. So I can't move there. So a peacemaker remains right there and doesn't move. Peacemaker says, hey, listen, if you want to meet here, that's fine. So I'm going to push back on this report, and I'm going to say in this report, hey, listen, I can't do that, but we can work really hard next quarter to make it better. Or maybe there's a strategy we need to do to make this improve, but I can't change the numbers here. It changes things. So then a peacemaker, very simply, they lead others to peace, not by changing the line, not by diplomacy, not by being passive, but simply they go to a person, they say, hey, listen, this is where peace is going to be found. Here's the truth of what needs to happen here. Third point, peacemakers, they recognize people that don't want peace. And this probably is the biggest point of the message. Peacemakers, they recognize people that don't want to make peace. There are people that are contentious, they're fighters, they're arguers, they don't want to get along unless if you do it their way. They aren't able to be reasoned with, they want to fight, so if you stay and fight, someone's going to get hurt. And maybe you know people like that. Maybe you live with, you have people that are friends or acquaintances or in your workplace or in your community that it seems like you can't do anything right. They're always looking for a fight. And so you try to say something to make it better and you try to make for peace and it just causes more of a fight, more tension. Solomon, you have to know a little bit about Solomon. Solomon, who is says a whole lot of things in the Old Testament about wisdom. He wrote most of Proverbs and gives all kinds of wisdom. He said this about the contentious wife. Now, you have to take this with a grain of salt. He was married to like hundreds of wives, okay? So I'm not picking on women. I'm not picking on wives because you find this in many other texts that there's contention in the church and contentious men as well. But he says that it's better to live in the corner of the attic than to live with a contentious wife. And historically, he made all kinds of houses for his wives, and I think he geographically placed some far away because they were contentious. I don't know, but I'm not picking on women because men, we can get contentious too. There are people that, very simply, you can't get along with them. No matter what you try to do, whatever you say, no matter how great the report is, no matter how awesome you try to be with this, that, or the other thing, they always find something wrong with whatever you're doing. Man, is that painful. Because internally, you're trying to do everything you can to make for a peaceful relationship. Internally, you're trying to do everything you can to care for what you're supposed to be doing together, whether it's at work or whether it's home or wherever it might be. You're giving everything you can to make for peace. And on the other side, they're like, yeah, I don't care about that peace thing. I have a critical heart or critical spirit that I'm going to continue to just beat you up one side and down the other. What do you do? People like this, they would take the items that are intended to be a bookshelf and they would say, I want to make a car with it. And you're sitting there saying, you can't do that. And they say, you need to make it happen because I think that's going to be a car. And you're like, but you can't do that. And you have this tension. And this war gets going because you have totally different priorities or thoughts about where you're going to go. And so they just continue to go and go and go and go and keep pushing buttons against you. How do you handle that? Next week, actually, we're going to dive into that a little bit more because there's some, the follow-up verses in Matthew really begin to dive into that. But here's the reality. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 18. It says, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Live peaceably with all people, as much as it depends on you. Listen, I can go as far as I can go and remain in the truth, remain in the lines that the instruction manual has given to me, but there comes a point. There comes this line that I know that God says, you can't go behind, you can't fudge the numbers, you can't lie about this, and you can't go and do this. That's not going to work for you, so you need to stop right here. And I can't figure out how to live peaceably with them. So now there's pain. there's more pain, and there's pain on top of pain. And what do you do with all of this pain? It's a struggle. Well, you go to God in it. You pull back and you say, okay, God, you've designed me to do this. You've designed me to be this way. You've put me in this place. I know the position that I'm in. And so God, Romans 8:28, God, I know that you're going to work everything out in your perfect plan to help me to grow in the way that I'm supposed to be growing. So if that means that you place so-and-so into my life, that's constantly contending with me, constantly fighting with me, constantly picking on, constantly critical, then God, I'm all in. Whatever you decide is fine. So God, give me peace. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. God, give me peace. I need this. I can't go on without you. This is a struggle without you in my life. And so I continue to do that. And God, give me the strength to stay where I'm supposed to stay. Oftentimes, what I find is that people give up on the truth. They give up and they say, well, let's morph it over here and let's just try to be politically correct, or let's try to be diplomatic and let's move around to try to get along with everyone. That's not the way God intended for life to be at all. So how do I know this? The whole theme of the Bible comes down to this one thing. It comes down to peacemaking. That's why this message is more challenging than probably most, because there's so much in Scripture about this. I could go from the beginning all the way to the end and give you example after example about peacemaking. But the greatest example, the one that I can't describe it even fully because it's so huge and continues to be that much bigger the more and more I study it, is what God's done for us. That God came and God said, I see where you are and I want to make peace with you, or give you the opportunity to make peace with me and extend by mercy the problem that's between our relationship. So let me describe that. Here's what he does. In the very beginning, you have Adam and Eve that are in the garden, the first people on earth, and there's a lot of story behind that. And so there they are, and God says, I'm giving you one piece of instructions. Here's one piece of truth. Don't eat of that fruit, and if you do, you'll surely die. You'll be separated from me for all eternity then. But they do this one thing. They break God's law, and they eat of this forbidden fruit. And as they do, they break this relationship with God. They bring sin into their life. And so as they do that, now God comes back and says, hey, what's going on over here? Why did you do that? And so Adam blames Eve, Eve blames the serpent, and this whole thing gets started. So at that moment, God said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to provide for peace. I'm going to provide for peace because what I want, and I want it all along, is to have a relationship with man. And so I'm going to provide for peace in that truth. I'm going to send my one and only son, Jesus Christ, to pay for that sin, the brokenness between man and God. I'm going to pay for that. And you can't pay for it yourself. There's nothing you can do there. So I'm going to send this one to pay for that sin. So in order to do that, he's got to be totally perfect. And he's got to be able to come as a spotless lamb, as it says, as someone that is totally pure, as someone that can pay the price. And so Jesus Christ is sent. And he comes and he dies on the cross. He rose from the dead 3 days later, being the sacrifice, being the payment for all of our sin. And so here's how this all works. Here's the peacemaker aspect. God has extended the opportunity for peace. He's given it to us, and we want to fight and say, no, I don't want it this way. And here's how this culture works. Here's where we are. And some of you struggle with this, and I get that. Well, wait a second. It's all roads lead to heaven, right? I mean, if you kind of believe in God, that's good enough. And I mean, there's no way you can be totally separated from God for all eternity. That can't happen. And God says, no, listen, here's the instruction manual. I'm giving it right to you. I'm sending my son who pays for your sin. And those that believe in Jesus Christ, those that place their faith in Jesus and say, okay, God, enough of me. I submit to you. I want to follow you. They are given peace at that moment by agreeing with the truth that they were wrong and they need to come to where God is, and they're able to have a relationship with God, not just for a moment, but for all eternity. It's awesome. Today we're going to baptize one person who's done that this year. who came to a point where they understood, hey, listen, I am not at peace with God, and I need to come to a point where I understand who God is, and I come to a point of truth and saying, God, I'm surrendering me to you, and I see what you've done for me, and God, I'm all in. I'm your follower now. Changed everything there. Listen, we will not experience peace until we go to the author of peace and allow for him to work in us this spirit of peace as we submit to him, as we follow his instruction manual. That's where it begins. And so whether you're struggling with relationships at home, maybe, you know, maybe it's a child or grandchild that never wants to talk to you again, or maybe it's a position at work that you've been passed over, or maybe it's something that's happened financially or whatever. You're just, man, I'm in so much pain. I'm not in peace. It starts with saying, okay, God, I surrender this to you. I surrender me to you first. And I want to follow you because I see your perfect plan for peace. And so I want to accept what you've done for me first. And then as you work this out in me, I want to just trust in you step by step through this. So God, give me peace where I'm in pain. And help me then to lead other people into a peaceful place in their life. Not just in a passive way, but in peace. And God, give me the discernment to recognize the people that they just don't want peace. Help me to work through that. As you do that, and these are all things, here's the instruction manual. He just laid it all out for us. As you do that, here's what happens. The people that just don't want to get along with you, that are just contending with you, they're fighting, they're arguing. Listen, as you work through all of that, you go back and you say, hey, wait a second, God told me there's going to be people like that. I can have peace knowing that I've done everything that I possibly can to extend and make for peace and keep working at it. Now, the thing to be aware of is this thing that I did with our kids growing up. Babies have this tendency from the time they're born to do this really annoying thing. What's it called? Yeah, they cry. Oh. I mean, the first moment is like, this is great, you know, we have a baby and we're so excited, but then 3 a.m., about 3 weeks later, who's going to shut this thing up? And so here's what we do. The baby's crying in truth at times, crying for hungry, like they want food and they can't communicate, so they're just crying. Please give me food. Wah, wah. You know, and like if I could just discern what is they want. I want the baby to be quiet. I want to take care of the baby. Here's the reality. Oftentimes, we take a pacifier and plop the pacifier into the baby's mouth to get the baby to be quiet. And we think that's going to be good. And sometimes peace looks like, hey, if I can make peace by making that person just be quiet long enough to give me peace. That's not peace. That's just pacifying. You haven't brought them to truth. What you've simply done, and you haven't gone to truth yourself, what you've said is, I will settle for some imitation of peace. I'll settle for something that's just less noise. The baby's still hungry. The baby's still got a dirty diaper. He's still got to work at that. Truth needs to be revealed and understood and be able to work out in a person's life in the same kind of way as a baby that's crying. If you want to make peace, listen, being a peacemaker means that you have to make plans for peace. You have to make plans for peace. You have to work at it. You have to be intentional about it. You have to realize, continue to realize, that peace does not come naturally. It doesn't come naturally. And so, start studying. Start figuring out, okay, what do I do with this one, that one, the other one? And if you're struggling, here's the, you know what a Tupperware container is? Right? Tupperware is for what? Food that are leftovers, right? Okay, so I'm going to give you a whole bunch of leftovers here. You ready? So get your Tupperware container out, okay? You say, I have some unanswered questions at the end of this message. Here's your Tupperware container. Take this and begin to open it up and discover what God has for you in certain circumstances, because every circumstance has its difference. You can go from the beginning of the Bible all the way to the end. Or maybe in that Tupperware container is not just, okay, that's a big book. Where do I start? Why don't you start with somebody that's been there? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul says, God is God of all comfort, who gives us comfort so that we can be a comfort to others. There's your Tupperware container. Maybe you shouldn't be going through life alone. Maybe as you're a work in progress, you say, okay, I can't go through life alone. I need to get somebody else in my life. That's your Tupperware container. I can't answer all the questions up here. We'd be here for days, right? So here's your Tupperware container. Open it up later on. Here's my leftovers. I need to work through this pain. God, what is it that you want me to do in this? Where's my starting point? And get with other people that can help you to be able to do that, to be a peacemaker. And as you do, you're going to see God do some amazing things. You're going to see God give you peace in the middle of turmoil. You're going to see God give you peace while worries is part of everybody else's life. Instead of being filled with stress, you're going to be filled with peace where you're like, okay, I have clear direction. I know where I should be. I know that I'm doing the right thing. And instead of being stressed out by everybody else, you're saying, this is awesome. God's got this. And instead of me never getting aligned to where I should be, I go back and I'm like, man, I just needed to tweak life a little bit over here, and I need to not say so much, or I need to do this, or whatever it is. And you begin to shift and change, and you're like, wow, God is so good. And as you do that, you're able to rejoice in what God has done. And the things that you're like, man, I can't resolve this tension. I can't get this one to go away. And you're like, yeah, but I've done everything that I know that God wants me to do. I'm still in pain. But I have the peace to know that I did everything that God wanted me to do. So while people are hard to please, while people are hard to get along with, God is not. God is not. And so we go to him and say, Lord, thank you. You know everything about me, and you love me. And we have peace based on his, our standing with him. It's awesome. Let's pray. Lord, there's so much more that you've said about peace. And Lord, there's just so much to apply to our life, because in every one of our lives, there's a bit of pain that we experience, whether it's in a relationship or in finances or in our character or just different things. And Lord, I pray that we would be peacemakers that go to you and find the peace that you've given for us. Lord, I pray that you would clarify and help us to understand how you work in every little situation in our life. Help us to trust you. And we'll give you the praise for what you do and what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.